From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. Much of Little Rock is fuming over a decision by the Arkansas Department of Education's head, Johnny Key, to not renew Superintendent Baker Curris's contract. But not everyone in the district, of course, is upset about this. Some see much promise in the pick of Michael Poor of Bentonville Schools. Gary Newton, president of the Education Policy Group Arkansas Learns, joins me on the line. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Glad to be with you.
All right, before we get into the merits of this actual pick, let's talk about the process. Some in the community, including the state-appointed Civic Advisory Committee and the Teachers Union, had no notice at all about this decision. You live in Little Rock. What are your thoughts on this process?
Well, I think there's widespread consensus that everyone was surprised by the decision. In fact, the first that I heard about it was when I got a text message from Pam Adcock with a link to Max Brantley's post that this was in the works. So it's reasonable that people would be disappointed, shocked, dismayed, but it also is reasonable that there are two separate issues at play. One is how that decision was handled and announced. The other is about the selection of a new superintendent.
Right.
And the encouragement that I would have is to, yes, be disappointed, yes, have differences of opinion about how it should have gone, work to correct that in the future. But meanwhile, we have a school district and students. And Mr. Poor had nothing to do with the way this was handled, and he shouldn't be hamstrung by it.
I do want to get into the district itself, but I still want to stay on the decision-making process for a question or two longer. You said hopefully in the future it would be handled differently. Do you have any advice for Commissioner Key about how it should be handled differently? Would you have liked to be included in some sort of discussion beforehand?
I have no advice for Commissioner Key because I don't know all of the circumstances. One never knows when making personnel decisions how information gets out, if it's premature, if it's right on time, if it was intentional.
But generally, do you think that communities should be asked about decisions such as who are going to head their schools? Do you think that that is good for a community or bad?
Well, I think generally it is good, but I've also been through the last two superintendent searches that happened in Little Rock.
Which didn't turn out so well.
Well, two ago, there was exhaustive community involvement, meetings, surveys, assessments, a search firm engaged, and it yielded one candidate for interview. And ultimately, no candidate was hired. So you had an exhaustive community process that gave the district an interim superintendent in Morris Holmes. I then saw a few years later the same search firm engaged and much of the same dysfunction that happened before. I was at every interview for every candidate as a parent in the Little Rock School District along with four other parents. And we saw that the process was essentially hijacked. There was an inevitable candidate whose interview was separated from all others. His interview was packed with people in the room and supporters. But it took a future school board member, Jim Ross and Barclay Key, to do opposition research on that candidate, which ultimately torpedoed that choice and led to the community consensus candidate of Dexter Suggs. And if you look back at that period, that was a 6-1 vote with business, parents, the union, everyone lining up in support of Dexter Suggs. Now, though that selection was distinctly different than the circumstances when Mr. Suggs left the office, I would argue that today the decision was made by the person in authority that had the authority to make that decision. But then the decision also to choose the new superintendent is a distinct decision. So I've seen it go well when you've had massive community involvement, and I've seen it go south. And I think Little Rock is very used to governance and superintendent transitions, having had 23 superintendents in 34 years.
Well, this larger argument, besides the process of this in the community, it's of course not just about the individual pick who will have a chance to learn more about Michael Poore in the coming weeks, I imagine, but it's generally just the direction Little Rock School District is headed. There seems to be a fundamental tension between those that think that charter schools are part of the solution and those that think charter schools are part of the problem to the traditional public school system. You, of course, have spent quite a bit of energy saying that charter schools are a good part of the solution, at least part of the solution, and one that a lot of parents are asking for.
Well, I think that what we have in Little Rock is much like other urban areas across the country, is a portfolio. Unfortunately, it seems that the history of the district is to look externally for answers to its issues rather than being introspective. Had Little Rock worked as hard to meet the demand that was pent up in the growing areas of our community, many of the charter applications would have been unnecessary. Instead, it chose to fight charter expansions and use that energy to fight groups that were trying to meet demand. I would liken it back to 1982 when Little Rock first filed suit against North Little Rock and Pulaski County and the state. They were looking externally rather than at themselves for answers to their issues. I would also argue that the biggest public school provider in the Little Rock footprint, other than the Little Rock District, is not charter schools. It is the Pulaski County School District. And yet that district has been allowed to exempt from school choice, which limits mobility to and from the Little Rock School District. It's the county's exemption from choice means that the only choice available to those residents of the county are charter schools. So the Quest School in West Little Rock, for instance, is in the Pulaski County Special School District. We believe that most parents, we have the data to show this, that most people don't care what name is on the school as long as it's excellent. Across Pulaski County, 71% of students are in traditional schools, 16% are in private schools, 10% are in open enrollment charter schools, and 3% are in homeschool. That doesn't take into account all those that have moved from this county or chosen not to move here. So we must embrace the reality of our portfolio. It's not an either-or between traditional districts and open enrollment public charters. It is an all. What individual delivery system best serves individual students? And I would venture that you have many people that believe only in school districts, 100%. But I don't know anyone that believes only charter schools are the answer.
I want to get to one of the last public statements that Baker Kurris made, at least when he was superintendent. One of the last things people remember, at least, that he said, is that he asked the State Board of Education, not in so many words, to sort of hit pause on charter school expansion in the Little Rock School District so that the district can get its bearings while it's under state control, since everyone acknowledges it's in academic distress. Baker Kurris is someone who believed in charters being part of the solution as well. What do you think about that, and do you think that there needs to be some sort of comprehensive plan that the State Board has in mind when they go forward in Little Rock?
Well, I think that we saw that with the recent motion that was attempted the night that the board considered the charter expansions was about a collaborative effort south of the river. And Jay Barth's motion was accepted by the board. The process has begun to pull all of those parties, including the superintendents of the two school districts, including the representatives of the open enrollment charter schools, including parents, including representatives of the community, to start looking at the big picture. There are many things that may be done south of the river before Pulaski County achieves unitary status, which that keeps the county from being consolidated into the district, both north and south of the river, as the State Board has also recommended doing. So that effort is underway. What I would share is that the governance of the Little Rock School District is not the responsibility of the State Board of Education by rule or law. It is the responsibility of the commissioner. And in turn, the application process for open enrollment charter schools, both on their applications and in their amendments for expansions or changes in location are prescribed by statute. The State Board has a role in hearing appeals of individual charters, but it cannot interfere with what has been prescribed by the legislator, which is the legal process for individual charter schools to be approved or expanded. So to have the State Board essentially issue an edict that we're going to put things on pause, I would argue would be an illegal use of its authority and would put a chill on the very process that has been prescribed for charters to go forward. I do think that voluntary collaboration among the groups will be the best way to success. There are economies of scale that the district could offer, whether it's facilities or transportation, that could become profit centers for the district itself, because charters simply can't offer a lot of the things that traditional districts may. And so I believe both sides have something to offer each other, but collaboration works both ways, and the charter doors have been open. It just takes someone from the district willing to step into those charters. Dexter Suggs did. I personally took Dexter Suggs on a tour of the new Quest West Little Rock Charter School. He and the board had opposed that school, but to his credit, he went to see it, and he was also proud to take me on a tour of Forest Heights STEM Academy, which was his reconstituted school, which, as you saw, went from academic distress to a B school in the latest A through F grades.
All right, and you brought up the legislature. I think I talked to you maybe a year or so ago about a bill in the state legislature that some said would allow nonprofits and private companies to take over some traditional public schools if they're in distressed districts or a distressed school. And it could happen again. From your point of view, at least, should people in Little Rock start worrying or evaluating that possibility today of another bill being entered like that?
Well, I think, I can't purport to say what people should worry about.
Well, not worried. As far as you know, you're in the Capitol, you're a lobbyist. Is that same type of bill going to come back again? Should people in Little Rock start evaluating that legislation today?
There are examples all over the state of traditional school districts collaborating with open enrollment charters. I would point you to Pea Ridge as a great example. Pea Ridge has perhaps the most innovative career tech offering in Arkansas. It is a conversion charter part of the district, and yet it operates on an open enrollment charter's online platform, Responsive Education Solutions, which has four open enrollment charter schools in Arkansas. I would say we've got to move away from this either-or mentality and look at
right, all. But I'm just asking about that one piece of legislation that we talked about a year or so ago. It was in a lot of people's minds in Little Rock. You're in the Capitol, you're a lobbyist with dealing with the Education Committee and these bills. Do you think that is this a bill that's going to come up again? Do you think people in Little Rock should start thinking about it?
I have no idea, honestly. I think it's something, if we look across the country, portfolio approach is where most urban areas are going. I think that bill hearkened the experiences in Memphis, in Tennessee rather, and in Louisiana, different names, Achievement School District, Recovery School District.
But is that something you're still pursuing when you're in the Capitol?
No. No, it's not. Obviously, it's fiscal session now. That's a long way away. I can't say yes or no. What I can say is that when that bill was introduced, remember, this was in the shadow of the takeover of the Little Rock School District by the state. So the state had intervened, and everything was seen through that prism and therefore seen as an attack, if you will, on the district. So there are many elements of that bill that are already law that could be implemented when it comes to the collaboration or partnership with open enrollments and or vice versa. The ability of districts themselves, like as in Pea Ridge or Fountain Lake or West Memphis, to contract and collaborate with an open enrollment charter. I think what we did see was Reggie Murdoch's bill,
right,
that allowed traditional districts to seek the same waivers that if they were impacted by an open enrollment charter school.
Which is, of course, different than a bill that would allow a private or nonprofit company to come into a public school district and administer it.
well, I know of no plans, or I don't know of anything that anybody contemplated a private organization coming in and taking over a school district. I think the opponents of that particular bill framed it that way, but it was mainly, is, and I'm going by memory, is an empowerment tool to give all the tools necessary to give people maximum options. So the waiver opportunity that Mr. Murdoch has been taken advantage by districts all over the state. And the irony there is that people thought the folks that were pro-charter school would be opposed to it because they thought that the charters thought they had a competitive advantage with the waivers. And so I think it was illuminating for people to see the charters were all for it. They want whatever has worked for them to be at play with the traditional districts because it's ultimately good for students.
All right. Gary Newton, president of Arkansas Learns, thanks a lot for walking us through all this. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the days ahead and once Michael Moore gets settled in.
Michael Poor, or you said Michael Moore?
Michael Moore. Michael Poor.
If Michael Moore is coming, we have a different story.
I think there'll be a whole different set. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I would encourage you. We have been very transparent about our advocacy and what our positions are. So if anyone is further interested, go to ArkansasLearns.org and go to the source rather than relying on what other people may say.
Agreed. All right. Well, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Jacob.